Welcome back. You're listening to The Deb Colletti Show.
Hey, Beverly, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here again.
Yes, our contributing correspondent who goes hands-on and does research on assignment to, you went to the World Domination Summit. We just finished talking to Chris about his book and about the summit. What drew you to go to the World Domination Summit this time?
Yeah, I mean, I read his book last year, The Art of Nonconformity, and I mean, the title really spoke to me. What he was talking about really spoke to me. And I heard about the World Domination Summit after the fact last year, really wanted to go this year. Partly, I've really wanted to go to Portland, so what a bonus to get, right. You know, both in one trip. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what to expect, you know, so I showed up not knowing anybody.
And your own, too,
going,
right.
1,000 people, as you probably heard, and I actually didn't know anybody. I hadn't connected with anybody from my hometown or from anywhere else.
Wow.
And there were
and
a lot
a single
of people
person.
Who had been there last
yep.
year
mm-hmm.
Who were meeting up, and I went in this kind of observer capacity, like, what is this all about?
Mm-hmm. What made you even go in the first place?
Just reading the book.
Is that right?
I think reading his book. I had been reading his blog posts over the course of the last year. I loved his message. As you know, he's a total travel hacker
right.
and is completing an amazing goal himself in April of next year, having
right.
traveled to every country
I
in
know.
The world.
How many have you been to? Maybe half of them, a quarter, maybe.
Well,
I know.
Yeah. I mean, so it was, this sounds like an interest. Like I said, I had no idea what age group will go.
Mm-hmm.
What are people doing in the world? I had really no connection. I literally only signed up on the unofficial Facebook page a week before the event. I
wow.
didn't have a Twitter account.
Wow.
Yay, I'm really in modern times. And I went there, and it was just fascinating because I continued to meet a lot of people who say they're introverts, which
mm-hmm.
is very interesting. And I just kept connecting with different people, not necessarily one group of people. And I was fascinated by the range of what people are doing out in the world, but not only for themselves to create businesses, but how they're giving back. And that's really at the forefront of everything that Chris
yeah.
is about. It's community, adventure, service. And the service is a really, really big component. And I was fascinated. You know, there were all ages of people, people in all stages of life. It wasn't only young people. He is fairly young, which
mm-hmm.
is great. But there's a lot of people who are older who really want to make a difference also, like at this point in their lives.
And aren't you
know, maybe
seeing
their careers are winding down and they want to start something new. So it was great. I mean, the speakers were incredible. Each one was more uplifting probably than the last. And the idea of adventure and fun, it was great. I mean, the opening night party, they had ping pong on the street and a marching band and Dunk the Blogger and sumo wrestling. So you can kind of get an idea of what the spirit of the event is. It was not really only business. It was really about going out, having fun,
playing,
having
yeah.
adventure.
Now, there's
forming
a
community, that was a really
right.
big, yeah.
The fact that it grew from 500 to 1,000, and I understand this year there's 7,500 people on the waiting list, including me.
This is what I heard.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that people are looking for a different way to work and to live and to so on, this whole entrepreneurial trend, as you also wrote to me, and I want to talk about your trip to Peru and how that is a whole new way the world, not just young people, as you say, people like Wes or me, we've reinvented ourselves. We have a radio show now. People are looking to follow their passion in life. And same thing, or what's a hobby in Peru becomes a business if we give someone a couple bucks.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is an ongoing theme. We can't, you know, I mean, I do see there is a prevailing attitude among a lot of people where, like, we need to fix the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And they look, obviously, to politicians or old models
right.
that perhaps worked before. And, like, you know, I was just reminded of the quote by Einstein, which is insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
It's us in America. That's how we do it.
But, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that why would people want someone out there to fix it? It's really about finding responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe this, and I think we all believe this. We have to take responsibility. We have to go out. And a lot of people that I read about in the $100 startup, really it was something that they were passionate about and they had some skills or a need that they wanted filled.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just went out and offered this to other people and somehow magically, as it often does, it grew.
Right.
You know, they grew a business.
Yeah. And it's out of, again, the theory does prove out. Do what you love and love what you do and do it for that reason, and it will follow. There will be 10 other people, 100 other people, 1,000 that will agree with you.
And, I mean, you know, I think what happened for me in Peru was I just really saw, you know, this value of community. These people really, everything they do is for the benefit of their community, not mm-hmm. for the benefit of themselves and their own
yeah.
little circle of family. And that's what was, it was very eye-opening. They live really with nothing. I mean, it was quite, yeah, it was quite an eye-opener for mm-hmm. me, because how they live and how much gratitude they have
yes.
for even the smallest of things is a big lesson for people in North America.
Yeah.
And that's this idea of, you know, we are given a free lunch many, many, many times in our lives
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm. What do you make up that's about? Is that their spiritual upbringing? Is that their religious background? Or just because they have so little and happy to have what they have?
I see that they live in community. So, I mean, we went, mm-hmm. literally we did go to places that no one would go to. These are the forgotten people in
yeah.
Peru who everybody has just, you know, left aside, and they, and what World Neighbors does, so that's who I went with,
mm-hmm.
they go in and they see, what does this community need? What do the people need? They leave it to the community. And we went into, you know, communities as small as 19 families, which is really small.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thriving. And yeah, they, I don't know if, I didn't necessarily think it was because of religion. I think it was because of need. I mean, they
right.
all had to leave their homes at one point in time, as you know.
Right.
And then they came back to nothing, and nobody wanted to help them. So
yeah,
with
to
the
help
small amount of
yeah.
help, and there was room for everyone. That was
mm-hmm.
what was beautiful. You know, there were women who were amazingly creative and were weavers, and then there were people who wanted to raise guinea pigs. So,
right. What's cool is that it's reminding me back when we started in the Americas, when we did come off the boat through Ellis Island and we all had to lean on each other because we had nothing. And it was more community. But it also, the juxtaposition, I'm going to say that better, to the kids today that might have gone to World Domination Summit, the 20s and 30-year-olds that are learning through community, through maybe environmental activism or all the different things, that they do have to hold each other's hands to make a difference. I really appreciate that young people are getting that, where my generation, not so much, I have to say, between Ellis Island and now. I think there's hopefully a cycle back, or am I just Pollyanna here?
Well, no, and I really believe we are moving on the planet, without getting too far out there, onto
mm-hmm.
into a higher level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been about community. We just somehow have forgotten between
the Ellis
Island and the now, you know, in our
right.
generation. It was always get ahead, do what I can for my family, protect
mm-hmm.
my family.
Mm-hmm. All
and
about
I
me.
Do see that it's going back to community will be the future. That
mm-hmm.
is the future.
I get the chills. That's so cool. Yep. How cool was it to sit in the audience? I'm circling back to World Domination Summit and watching Chris make the speech about and giving back to the world and doing something, paying it forward, and all of a sudden you got an envelope as you left.
Well, it was pretty unbelievable. I mean, that was definitely a highlight, and I think everybody was sitting. I mean, he's a great storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very humble and gentle soul, as you found out.
Yes.
He really does walk his walk and talk his talk. There is nothing inauthentic.
He
is such an authentic person. And he just stood there and he told a pre-story,
mm-hmm.
and then he started telling us a story about an anonymous donor, and it was like, oh, that's really cool. So
yeah.
they made money this year, because they didn't make money last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I guess you know, or maybe people don't know, this has no corporate backing. There are no people selling anything.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing commercial about the event. It is literally an event.
It's literally a $100 startup, probably. $100
yeah.
and a cup of coffee.
You know, the fact that he's attracting people, there's no hype, there's no pressure. It is just being there, I think, in the energy. It's pretty high energy.
Mm-hmm.
And as he started telling the story about the anonymous donor and how somehow it just kind of worked out to be $100 for each of the attendees, and I was like, wow, that's really cool, because there's 1,000 people,
yeah.
100,000,
uh-huh.
that's nice.
Yeah.
And I just sat there, and I really, really thought, oh, well, he's going to say he's giving this, because one of the things he's aligned with is Charity Water,
mm-hmm.
Scott Harrison's amazing organization,
right.
and I thought, oh, that would be perfect, he's going to give all the money,
it,
and then
yeah.
Yeah, the surprise ending is we've decided to give it all back to you.
Uh-huh. And what did you do with your $100, I want to know?
Well, like I just found out the other day, so I'm in Toronto.
Yes.
I've done nothing with my $100.
Uh-oh.
There's a group in San Diego of 20 people, and they just got together. None of them have done anything with it, and they're going to band together as a 20-person times $100 mm-hmm. and come up with an initiative. And I think there's a lot of people who have done things, and that's one of the things I want to follow up for sure and see what have people started out in the world with something as simple as $100 or where has that gone? And that was what his directive was.
Yeah.
Go out and do something,
mm-hmm.
you know, help someone or start someone and make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Kiva? Do you give to Kiva? I love that charity.
I am familiar with it.
Tell us what it is, Deb.
Okay. Kiva is a micro-business supporting charity where you know where your money's going. I give $30 to one person I pick in Peru or another $40 to somebody in Haiti. And and you stay in touch, not personally with them, luckily, but they don't come asking you for money. But you get to see how successful they've become. And it's self-funding in
okay,
the end.
Got it. Thanks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I'm not promoting, but Charity Water, like, the amazing model is 100% of everything that is donated
mm-hmm.
goes to the projects
yeah.
where they're working. So, and, it's amazing what one person can do. So that's really the point of this. Don't
yeah.
underestimate the power of one person.
One
and that
man.
Was really
mm-hmm.
the message. Brené Brown spoke, and she really talked about this, being daring to be vulnerable and being seen.
What a great speaker, huh?
Always know you belong here. Every single person belongs here and has something to contribute.
Yeah.
And maybe we have lost that. I don't know. I think we've lived in a world maybe where it's been a lot about the me. What
mm-hmm.
can I do? What am I getting out of this? And I think this message is really becoming part of the conversation now about giving
yeah.
back, being of service. And that's what Chris, I think, meant by a free lunch, you know?
Yeah.
How can you help somebody?
right.
How can you actually help somebody?
What's cool now, it's becoming, I hate to say that, but because it's sexy to be in community and giving back, it's the trend has really seemed to snowball. And I hope that for whatever reason, somebody like Chris is very authentically involved. People want to do it because they want to hang out with each other. That's fine. But the message is becoming more clear than it was in the 80s, 90s, and the last decade too, circling back to what can we do, not what can I get.
Yeah, and I mean, it is this idea that we have power, like, and he empowers people,
mm-hmm.
and that was really the message, is like, I'm empowering you to do something. I don't have to make a decision on your behalf, and I
right.
thought that was really amazing. And, you know, I've told people the story, and they go, are you kidding? You mean he didn't keep the money?
Right. You hear about generous people that are billionaires and stuff when they do things like that, but this kid, he's not quite 35 yet and traveling all over the world, but he's been on a mission. I want to interview his mother. How to woo his parents? That'd be a whole good story.
Well, I don't know, and I just find him quite fascinating, and to be honest, until I went to the conference, I didn't really have a sense of what he would be like in person, and he just is, you know, he really is being authentically who he is,
right.
and it's just very, very refreshing.
Well, it's so meaningful to you. You wrote to me right away and wrote a great piece on Huffington Post, I should say. We're talking to Beverly Golden here, who is a writer on Huffington Post, and our contributing correspondent here on the Deb Coletti Show, about her worldwide travels this year. And I really appreciate that you brought him to my attention. I'd heard about him. I'd heard about World Domination Summit, but I had not signed up, and I hadn't really paid attention to, again, and everything you read, I love to read. And you got me on that story about the money coming back to you. How cool. How much was the ticket anyway to go to the summit?
Well, I paid $497.
Wow, less $100. That's pretty great.
And he has definitely said, do not expect this to be an ongoing.
Yeah. I like how he says, and by the way, when you leave the room, only leave once.
Yeah.
Because people come back.
And I think there are some people who left before, and it's like, you know what, if you weren't here,
uh-huh.
then that was your choice to leave, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And he also, so I don't know if he mentioned this, but 80% of the people who were there, mm-hmm. bought a ticket already for next year.
I know. That's what you told me, which is why I signed up, which is why I'm on the waiting list. And I'll probably go in 2016, maybe. But I'm glad I hope they don't make it too big. I think it's kind of nice that it's 1,000 people. It could get unruly. Portland sounds fun.
Turn into Woodstock or something.
There's Wes.
Just so stay tuned. I've written a piece also on Portland because I was just amazed. Like, it truly lives up to its green environmental consciousness. I mean, I walked around and I saw these big belly solar compactors on street corners, and I went, yeah! You know, it was really, I don't know why, that excited me. And just tax-free. I mean, anyways, yeah, Portland is a very cool place to visit, I must say.
So, is it still all coffee, a lot of coffee shops?
Definitely a lot of coffee shops. Yeah. Now, I must say I was loyal to where I go for my chai every day.
Which is?
It's so, well, the Bucks.
Yeah. The Bucks, I don't know.
Okay.
Starbucks.
Oh, Starbucks. Excuse me. Oh, the insiders call it the Bucks. What do I know? I've got a card-carrying member. Shut up.
Yeah, I don't know if I should be revealing that, but yeah, I mean, I'm loyal to them, but people said go to this place or go to that place or go to Stumptown or go, you know, and I mean, amazing bookstores. So I want to tell everybody out there, sorry, I'm a little off topic. If you think the real books are on the wane, you have to go to Powell's Bookstore.
Really? Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Mom and pop and old mom and pop kind of store?
Oh, it's been there, I don't know how many. It's a whole city block.
Wow.
It's like a whole adventure in itself with used and new books on the same shelf, which is amazingly cool.
I love how we're going backwards a little bit in a lot of
best ways. Travelogue with Beverly.
That's okay. I loved Portland. I must say, thumbs up to the peeps in Portland.
Let's make clear, it's Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. Right, not Maine, which is the sister to Portland, Maine, so people say. Or maybe Toronto, Canada, who knows?
Oh, hey, cool. I mean, so I've been to the big P's this year, Peru. And Portland.
And soon to be Peoria. Who knows what's next?
No. Let's see.
I like my alliterations. That's just what I have to do.
I'm coming to visit New York soon, hopefully, and yeah.
Good. Nice. Keep us posted when you do that. Well, you always have plenty of wonderful things to say. We're going to sign up for World Domination in 2015 if we have to. Thank you for being here again and bring us all of this good information.
Anything else on your mind, Beverly?
Yeah, anything with top of mind?
I don't know. There's lots on my mind. I think we are. I'll just say I think we are heading into a time of huge change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's amazing the opportunities that are out there if you kind of get out of your own way and really
sort of
sit in a place and look at what you can do out in the world. And I think that's why you see all these amazing little micro businesses happening in the U.S., in Peru, people using their talents and sharing them with the world. I think what more is there than that?
Exactly. And there's only so much time left in 2012, so let's make this a real earth-shattering year for all of us. It doesn't have to be the end, but the beginning of something else great. Well, you're an inspiration, and thanks for taking these trips and telling us all about it.
I'm delighted. Thanks for having me again.
Okay. We're going to take a break and be back in just a minute.
Check out Deb's fan page at Facebook/Deb Coletti. Let her know what you think. We'll be right back.